Darren Gant, Pro Football Talk. Darren, thanks so much for this. So you woke up to a lot of stuff today, lots to talk about.
Yeah, football's become a real mutter on a Friday afternoon. There's no doubt about that. Just another boring Friday in the NFL. Let's blow up the entire league. Zeke Elliott, 6 games.
Yeah.
Trade Sammy Watkins. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, all right, let's start with Zeke because we did a little bit on the Bills in the last segment. We'll get to that trade in a second. But, yeah, 6 games for Zeke, and he'll appeal, and maybe that will be reduced to 4 or 5 or something of that ilk. But if it is 6 games, what does this do to the Cowboys and their chance to repeat as division champs?
Well, I guess we'll find out in a hurry if Dak Prescott's really any good or not. I mean, last year he got a lot of credit, I think, for things that weren't necessarily his doing. You know, he had the benefit of having Ezekiel Elliott to hand it off to and, you know, what a lot of people think's the best offensive line in football. Now it's going to be all on him. I mean, certainly they've got talented pieces around. As long as you've got Dez, as long as you've got Jason Witten, if Dak Prescott plays at a competent level, they should be okay. They should be able to withstand. You know, I don't know that they're going to be able to match what they did last year, but I don't know that they were going to be able to match that anyway. I think the questions people have had about the Cowboys over the last couple of years are the same. I mean, they're not terribly deep on defense. They've lost some parts, you know, and I think those things are all going to be magnified in the absence of a guy who you can turn around and hand it to 25 times a game. And so it's going to be difficult for them for sure. Can they get through these 6 games? I don't know.
Interesting you say that, because I actually look at it and I feel like it's going to be a referendum on actually how good Ezekiel Elliott is going to be and really truly is, because he is playing against, for me, the best, you know, running offensive line in football. And most teams in the league now are running back situations by committee. He's one of the few who's really a three-down back. McFadden and Hillman will get some run now, and obviously the ageless Alfred Morris. Do you see this showing us really the true value of Ezekiel Elliott after his first year?
Well, I mean, I think Zeke's a special running back. I think he's one of those guys. There are very few bell cow backs anymore, and he looks like one of them. I think Leonard Fournette in Jacksonville is another one of those type guys who you know you can count on it. Now, can they patch it through? There are worse backup plans in the league than what they've got there in Darren McFadden. I mean, he's been alternately, you know, I don't want to say reliable. That's probably the wrong word to use with McFadden. But he's a quality backup and somebody, you know, if that line lives up to reputation, then we'll see how they're able to withstand. But they've got questions of their own. I mean, Tyron Smith's out there now missing practices with a bad back. He says it's no big deal. But again, you're talking about one of the best left tackles in the game, and if there's anything wrong with him, you know, what you might start to see is, you know, a little bit of regression. And I think that's typical in the NFL. I mean, look at this thing from year to year. It's so hard to sustain success, and we talk every year about teams turning over, playoff teams, you know, it's always a different cast, that kind of thing. You know, I expect teams that had great success the year before to regress unless they're the Patriots. I mean, I expect the Falcons to take a step back this year just because it's so hard to put that together year after year.
You mentioned Leonard Fournette, and maybe it was just youthful exuberance, but he came out in the preseason and recently said, the NFL is actually a little bit slower than I expected. I was ready for this because I played in the SEC. Is that a testament to the fact that he is that special, or is he speaking a little too soon?
As my people here in the American South say, bless his heart, I think he may have overspoke a little bit and probably got out a little over his skis beyond what he would have wanted to, and certainly beyond what Tom Coughlin wanted him to. Yeah, I just think that was a young and dumb. He's going to be a good back, but that was kind of irresponsible for him to say. And, you know, he made a target of himself, and that's something not, you know, he doesn't need, and the Jaguars certainly don't need. They've got enough problems without that.
Talking to Darren Gant, Pro Football Talk. All right, make sense of this Bills trade, will you, Darren? They get a couple of picks next year. I mean, two different moves, but the big one, of course, Sammy Watkins on his way to the Los Angeles Rams for cornerback E.J. Gaines, a second-round pick as well, headed to Buffalo. They pick up wide receiver Jordan Matthews and a third-round pick from the Eagles for cornerback Ronald Darby. What does this mean to you?
Well, I mean, as soon as you get a new coach and a new GM in Buffalo, those guys aren't beholden to old administration's picks anymore. And knowing Brandon being the way I did, covered the Panthers for a long time, I've known Brandon practically his entire NFL career, you know, back to when he was an intern. And I know the culture he was brought in and what he values, and what he values is draft picks. And he knows going into that situation, Buffalo's a unique market. You're never going to be able to attract high-priced free agents to Buffalo because of the weather, because of the stadium, because of all that stuff you guys know all too well. So you've got to draft, and you've got to draft well. And Brandon's a guy who was around Carolina coming out of the Bill Polian years. They drafted well when Marty Herney was the GM, who's practically, you know, who's basically Brandon's mentor. So he knows that that's going to be the foundation of what they have to do. And as you look at the Bills right now, they're sitting there with, what, six picks in the first three rounds next year by picking up the extra first and seconds and thirds in the moves they've made along the way. So they've loaded up on picks, and I think it's what they needed to do. I mean, more than anything else, they just didn't have anything invested in Sammy Watkins and didn't trust him to be well. So they just move on now and collect what they can get.
So that's it for them in 2017. Is this the white flag for the Buffalo Bills this season?
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily a white flag, because how much was Sammy Watkins really helping him? I mean, the guy's incredibly talented when he's healthy, but he's not shown an ability to stay healthy. So I'm not sure how much better Sammy Watkins made the Bills in 2017. I mean, they, like every other team in the NFL that's not, you know, a regular in the playoffs, their success is going to depend on the quarterback. And they're not sure right now if Tyrod Taylor can be that guy. If he exceeds expectations, then, you know, they can do some things. The one thing I like about the Bills, and one thing I know from Brandon personality-wise, you know, it may sound like a little bit of a cliche, but he's a grinder of a GM. Sean McDermott's a grinder of a head coach. They want to be able to run the ball. And regardless of anything Tyrod Taylor does, you've got Shady McCoy. Jonathan Williams looked good last night. So, you know, I don't know that, you know, it's going to be a huge drop-off not having Sammy Watkins, because I don't know what you can actually expect from him on a week-in, week-out basis.
Right. And you look at that division specifically, the difference really is stability and excellence at the QB position. The Patriots have had it. The other three teams haven't. Is this Buffalo getting in the queue behind the Jets, who may have the worst QB situation in the history of mankind, and saying Sam Darnold of USC, Josh Allen of Wyoming, Lamar Jackson, Louisville, Josh Rosen of UCLA, whoever, we're getting in line for that next guy who's going to be the face of our franchise for the next 10 or so years?
This may sound strange, but Tyrod Taylor may be too good to get in that mix. You know, I think Tyrod's good enough to keep them. You know, I don't think he's a great quarterback, but he's certainly better than what's going on in New York right now. And he's, you know, realistically could keep them in that 7-9, 8-8 kind of range where, you know, they're sort of on the fringes of things. I don't know that he's necessarily the quarterback who can take you to the next step, but he might be enough of a quarterback to keep you out of the mix for a top five pick.
We already have some QB controversies after a couple of games. Week one of the preseason. What interests you the most here, Darren? Because Mitch Trubisky, obviously second overall pick, he's going to have a lot of attention on him. Good in his debut. DeShone Kizer also good. Now, they weren't playing against first teamers. But what's the most interesting QB battle, do you think, here in the preseason?
Well, I'm fascinated by what's going on in Houston. Of those rookie quarterbacks this year, DeShone Watson was the guy I probably feel most strongly about coming into the draft, just because he struck me. I thought he might end up in Jacksonville because he was a Tom Coughlin-type quarterback. He was just that calm, steady leader. You know, does he throw some interceptions? He does. I think Clemson put him in those positions sometimes. But I think DeShone Watson's going to end up the best of those four, and he's certainly in the best position because, what, for the last 5 years we've talked about the Houston Texans, and the conversation's basically been, man, if those guys had a quarterback, they'd be dangerous. And we said that through Matt Schaub. We said that through, you know, all the guys who've paraded through there over the last 5 years. And, you know, now they've got the potential. I know they're saying, hey, Tom Savage has looked great through the offseason. He didn't look great Wednesday night against the Panthers' first defense. He did some things against their backup. But, you know, I think Tom Savage is just kind of a guy and not altogether different than just the guys they've paraded out there over the last few years. DeShone Watson gives them a chance at so much more. And I think if you look to those guys in the future, what they might have with a DeAndre Hopkins, once DeShone Watson learns the NFL game, and with a defense that's among the best in the league, those guys could be a tough out for anybody.
You know, two guys I often compare are Andrew Luck and Cam Newton for their physical stature, their talent. Both.
That's astute because they are a lot more similar than anybody would give them credit for being.
Yeah, I think so too. And both are banged up right now. You know, looking at them with franchises who their future is based off of their health. However, administrations who need to make the playoffs this year, what is the likelihood we see them in week one? And are there, you know, built in some safeguards in place so that those teams can win if they aren't able to strap it up to start the season?
Well, I'm not a doctor, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
There you go.
I think the simple fact that Cam Newton has thrown a football puts him a little bit ahead of Andrew Luck in this progression. I mean, we still don't know when Luck's going to start throwing or how close he actually is. Chris Ballard, the Colts GM, said this week, we're not sure he's going to play week one, whereas in Carolina there's been a confidence that Cam's going to be okay come the regular season. Now, this week's going to be a big indicator for him because he did throw early on in training camp and then took a week off basically with soreness. I think the Panthers are probably a little better built to withstand a short-term absence from Cam than the Colts are. I mean, the Colts without Andrew Luck are probably one of those top five pick teams like we were talking about, the Jets and some other folks, even though they wouldn't be in the quarterback market. So, you know, the way Carolina can run the ball, Derek Anderson, I guess, I mean, I'm not a huge Derek Anderson fan, but he can get them through a couple games. He's done it in the past. And, you know, every indication I've gotten is that Cam's, you know, problems are short-term, push through the scar tissue, push through the soreness type situation rather than aggravating an existing injury.
Hey, Darren, great stuff. Really appreciate it. And, yeah, it's going to be a while here. We're going to be jammed up. Going to have lots of work ahead of you, and it's just underway. Appreciate you taking some time for us.
Yeah, and if you guys got any tips for the fourth race at Del Mar or anything.
well, Donovan says horse racing's coming back. So, yeah, we'll figure that one out for you.
All right, see you, boys.